Hello and welcome to the Monday edition of the Bundesliga show. And as you can see, Peter Weiss is already showing his Germany flag. Do you want to tell us, Peter, why are you doing that today?
It's just a wonderful weekend. It's a wonderful day to be a German football fan. And today also happens to mark officially 2 months until the Euros start. And I want to invite everyone watching and all the Over the Bar fans to come over to our wonderful Bundesrepublik. It's a wonderful place to fall in love with and the best club football in the world. So you all must come. You all must come for the Euros and enjoy our wonderful land. And I do mean everyone. Everyone is invited.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And obviously, it's been a massive weekend as well on the Bundesliga front as well, hadn't it? Which we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, for any new people in the chat as well, don't forget to like, comment and subscribe to our video. Don't forget that one. And also, don't forget that we're not only a YouTube channel as well, we're also a podcast. So there will be a description to that in the links for if you want to leave a review and a comment on our podcast as well. So yeah, without further ado, nice to see some guys in the chat as well. Good to see Ballon checking in as well. Rory Stuttgart need around 9 points. Yeah, we will be talking about them later as well. Hi to Erin as well over in Philly. She's already calling it the world's best football beat as well. Yeah, you've taught her well, Peter, by the look of it. But yeah, fantastic stuff over there in Philly. But yeah, where better place to start, Peter? I wanted to really kind of make a big fuss of them this weekend, as we've done for pretty much the whole season, really, in many ways, because they've just been absolutely brilliant. But we have a champion. For the first time in 11 years, we have a new Bundesliga champion. And of course, that team is indeed Bayer 04 Leverkusen, who thrashed Werder Bremen 5-0 to lift their first ever Bundesliga title in 120 years history. Only their third major trophy as well, after obviously the Pokal in the 90s and the Europa League before that. And yeah, I mean, Peter, what can we say? I mean, I just thought this was a brilliant festival of football, personally. You know, obviously, the way the Leverkusen players were greeted by the flares and the tifos and the fans. You know, we know, don't we, Peter, that the fans like to turn up really early in the Bundesrepublik, but it seemed as though they were there at 8 o'clock for this game, basically already around the ground, around the Bayer Arena for this fantastic finale in what has been one of the great seasons in football history, let alone in Bundesliga history. The game itself was just a procession, really, wasn't it? Victor Boniface, the returning Victor Boniface to the starting lineup, getting the penalty underway for the 1-0. Then really, I mean, the rest of the first half just kind of coasted by before the second half. Wow, I mean, Leverkusen just wanted to finish it in style, didn't they? And obviously they brought that man Florian Wirtz on, and oh boy, was he good in the second half. But let's not forget Granit Xhaka's amazing second goal as well. His second thunderbolt of the runder, backing that one up against Mainz that he got about a month ago. And then, obviously, it was the main man himself, wasn't it, to seal the glory. Florian Wirtz, potentially the star of the German team as well this summer, banged in a hat-trick, and what a hat-trick it was as well. I mean, that first goal was just an absolute rocket from miles outside the area into the top corner. Then two neat finishes as well from excellent assists, including another one from Grimaldo, the 12th assist of the season for him, who also came off the bench, ironically, in this game. But Peter, what can we say? Congratulations for Leverkusen.
Absolutely. And to pick up on a thread that we were talking about a little bit a couple months ago on this pod, it was my contention that this team, this Leverkusen team, is almost as close to footballing perfection as one can get. And for that reason, I back them to actually complete an undefeated season, just like the old Arsenal Invincibles. And speaking of things that you should save the date for, this was a story that I was tracking earlier today. I expect everybody to come over for the Euros. Well, you're all very welcome. But on May 26th, we are going to have something perhaps very, very unique in German football. Namely, that is the date that Leverkusen have scheduled for their championship celebrations. And this is the day after the DFB Pokal final. It's entirely possible that Leverkusen, well, I think it's quite probable that they will beat Kaiserslautern in the Pokal final. But they can also take the Europa League trophy. The final is on the 22nd in Dublin. And what is unique about this to German football is that ordinarily, when a team wins the Meisterschale, and of course, as you mentioned, Bayern has been doing this for the last 11 years, the Meisterschale is hoisted over the Marktplatz. You know, they come out on the balcony there of City Hall and they show it to the citizens of the town and everything like that. The reason this is not happening in Leverkusen is because there is no Marktplatz and there is no balcony. So what they're going to do, and this is not totally confirmed yet, but what I believe that they're going to do is they're going to open up the entire Bay Arena, 30,000 seat arena, for what might potentially be a triple trophy celebration. So if we get confirmation of this, I'll be sure to put it up there on Bully News. It might be the case that a huge German Meisterschale presentation, not the presentation on the last day of the season, but the Meisterschale party is going to be open to people who can come from all over the world. So we'll be tracking that story for you, and perhaps that's a date that you need to save, May 26th, to come party with the Meisterschale in person in Leverkusen, if you like.
Yeah, a kind of pre-Euro 24 party as well, isn't it, really, that one? Yeah, definitely, and in Nordrhein as well, and not far outside Cologne as well. I believe it's only, what, 20, 30 kilometres? So obviously Cologne is going to be one of the main cities in the Euros as well. Also one of the destinations where England are going to be playing too. So you England guys, if you want to get down, then do it, yeah. But yeah, a few congratulations in as well. Rory, obviously partying in North Wales, yeah, congratulating Leverkusen. I know he's also very, very happy to see the Meisterschale change hands this year. Also, Balam as well. Yeah, you have been crediting me for that one, Balam as well. Yeah, Xabi Alonso is cooking. I need to get a T-shirt with Xabi Alonso is cooking on. I think, don't I? Yeah, and we shouldn't get carried away with Bayer Leverkusen. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right, Balam. You've been, you know, I think all of us, to be fair, on the show have been bigging them up ever since that 3-2 win over Leipzig on the very, very opening day, way back in sunny August. And incredibly, they've not lost a single game in all comps since then as well. 43 matches, 38 wins, 5 draws in all competitions. It's just mind-blowing, isn't it? And as Peter already said, 3 trophies is very, very much possible as things stand. Obviously taking a 2-0 win to East London this Thursday, although I hope they've not had too many drinks in preparation for that one, because, you know, it's never an easy trip there to the London Stadium to play David Moyes' battalion. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting game, that one. And what can we say, Peter? You've already mentioned that 3 trophies are on the line, but I also wanted to mention the unbeaten season as well, because that's never been done, as far as I'm aware, in German football. And obviously, they're only 5 games away now. And not only the unbeaten Bundesliga season, but the potential incredible unbeaten full season is also on the cards. I mean, by my calculations, it's only 5 more Bundesliga games, 4 more Europa League, and 1 more Pokal. So that means basically 10 games to complete an incredible unbeaten full season. I mean, if anyone knows if that's ever been done in any league before, then please let me know. I mean, I know that Arsenal did the unbeaten in England, the 38 games, but that was only in the league. They didn't win any cups or European trophies that year. But Leverkusen have got the potential to do the whole season unbeaten. I mean, that is just off the charts, Peter. I mean, do you think they've realistically got a chance, first of all, of doing the Bundesliga unbeaten and also the full season unbeaten, potentially?
Absolutely. I said it 2 months ago. I said it just now, and I'll say it again. I believe that, and I recall that pod quite specifically. I was in Paris at the time, and you and I and Rory were speaking about whether or not Leverkusen had what it takes to do the undefeated season. I absolutely back them to do so. I think when I talk about footballing perfection, what is the most important thing to... Okay, I mean, there was basically what Leverkusen have done as a club. And this is why I was holding up that Elf Freunde at the beginning of the season that said Xabi Alonso, the best trainer in the Liga. We were talking about Leverkusen's title prospects on the first pod that we did this season. We're talking about it. I've been talking about it ever since. Is that what they've done is they've hired a data firm, and they have special matrix printouts that Xabi is given. And that's how he uses, I mean, he uses a basic 3-4-3. But if you think about how he shifted along all of these players and compensated for injuries, Boniface, Look at what he's done with Jonas Hofmann. Jonas Hofmann was taken out of the lineup for no real form reason, apparently. It was just essentially matchups with his opponents, things like this. Vjats didn't even start yesterday. Vjats was brought on in the second half and completed that hat trick, his first ever Bundesliga hat trick, filling in for Amin Adli. So in terms of personnel selections and what Xabi does with that 3-4-3, and you can usually discern it late in every match. My eyes are always fixed on the tactical cam. There's a special tactical tweak that he employs late every match, and personnel decisions factor into that as well. And that, combined with a little bit of luck and just good old-fashioned belief, are how Leverkusen have managed to complete so many amazing comeback wins this season. So this is football perfection. I'm even old enough to remember the Arsenal Invincible squad. Maybe not everybody watching is, but I think they're much better than them. And I think that it's entirely possible. And I back it to happen, as a matter of fact. I absolutely do.
Yeah, how amazing would that be? But yeah, nice comment from Balam as well. No more never Kuzin, last minute Kuzin. Yeah, I've seen some really, really good things on the internet as well. Instead of never Kuzin or Vita Kuzin, they're saying Bayern never losing. Now, that's never a losing. Good one as well. Yeah, but I like that one a lot as well. Bayern never Kuzin. Rudy Völler will be happy about that one because he was saying that he's pretty annoyed about the Vita Kuzin or the never Kuzin in English. But obviously now it's going to be exchanged for never losing. So he's going to be happy about that one. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Peter. I mean, the individual changes are something that have really kind of stood out for me in this Rook-Runder as well. I just feel as though in the beginning of the season, it was just the same 11. He was rolling out pretty much every match. But in obviously with a mixture of the AFCON injuries to the likes of Boniface, it meant that he's really had to rotate. But the rotations have been second to none. I mean, the individual personnel changes have just been absolutely superb at times. You know, and we've seen the likes of Amin Adli playing a massive part in the Rook-Runder. I think Hincapié barely played in the first half of the season, but in the second half, he's been an ever-present, as far as I'm concerned. He's played pretty much every match and been brilliant. Good to see that Kosunu returned for this game as well, because obviously he was one of the stars for me of the first half of the season, but he never really... The team was too good without him in the AFCON. Obviously, he went to Ivory Coast, won the AFCON, and now he's won the Bundesliga as well. So, I mean, it's been one hell of a season for him, hasn't it? I mean, absolutely superb. The entire roster has played a part in this victory. I would say the one man that can't get too much credit is January signing Borja Iglesias, really. I mean, I've not seen much from him at all, but even Adam Plozek has got 6 goals, incredibly. I mean, what more can you want? But
what he's done with that back line, I mean, Stanisic has also played his role.
Yeah.
And Stanisic has not only played his role along the back line, but also as a right wing back. On the topic of right wing back, Nathan Tella was absolutely not a right wing back when this season started. And he was able to become that and eventually supplant Jeremy Frimpong in some cases. So not only the rotations have been brilliant, but the manner in which he's used the flexibility of different players in different positions has been absolutely brilliant. And, you know, there are plenty of good players on this team that are not... I mean, he breathed life in the Hlotsek, for crying out loud. I mean, how did that happen? Yeah, I mean, the future is incredibly bright, too, with some of the young prospects that they have on this team that don't stand a chance of getting into it, like Gustavo Puerta and Noam Bamba and Aymen Aouir and guys like this. So it's, you know, it was interesting to see Xabi re-sign because he thought he had some unfinished business. I personally, the Champions League is the only one left. I'm backing them to win these 3 trophies. I don't know what other business he can have. To the question that Balam has about the company team. Okay. We had a Leverkusen fan on the pod, Alexander Silk, and it was a very, very good pod. Rory and I both had the privilege of interviewing him. And he did point out that despite the fact that this is a non 50 plus one side, the ultra scene is very, very old. It's very, very steeped in tradition. The manner in which Bayer became a company team. Actually, it used to be the case that there were two Bayers. The current KfC Uerdingen was the other Bayer. And so Bayer actually sponsored Uerdingen. But as Alexander Stoke pointed out, it was this club that asked Bayer to put the cross on there and sought them out in that sense. So it wasn't a company seeking out a team and building it. It was the other way around. It was the club seeking out the company. That being said, the German football diehards and purists, I mean, look, first and foremost, we're happy that this 11-year stranglehold on the title from Bayern is finished. You know, we can now sing our mock sing-alongs of Stern des Süden because we don't have to listen to that anymore. We don't have to listen to that at the end of the season. First and foremost, we are, of course, grateful for that. There is a little bit of a problem in that the only other team besides Leverkusen and Bayern to win the title in the last 15 years has been Dortmund. And before that, it was another company team, Wolfsburg, who won the title. So we are, of course, missing the traditional clubs, and we want the traditional clubs to succeed. But right now, the most important thing to do was to break Bayern's stranglehold on power. And that has been done, and it has been done by a team other than Leipzig, which is a very, very important point from German football fandom.
Yeah, absolutely. Good question as well, Balam, as well. And yeah, I just one final point on Leverkusen. I just wanted to talk about what could the next steps be. I mean, obviously, we've already talked about what can be achieved this season. And to be honest, looks very realistic this season that they will lift a treble or at the very, very least a double, domestic double. Although Peter's FC car might have something to say about that. But yeah, we're not hopeful, let's be honest. But yeah, I mean, moving ahead to next season, I mean, we've already got the news that Xabi has announced his future. He's going to be staying at the club, which for me is massive for, first of all, the club, also for the Bundesliga, because it pretty much guarantees a title race next year again, which is superb as far as I'm concerned anyway. I mean, I just wanted to ask you, Peter, and see what you thought about maybe some of the players. I mean, pretty much this entire squad is sellable at the minute. You know, I think there'll be suitors for most players in this squad, really. You know, Frimpong, Grimaldo, Boniface, Florian Wirtz, Palacios, even Andri, who's become like a regular in the German midfield now, Tah, Tapsoba, Kosunu, I mean, Adli, literally almost every player in that squad is sellable. I mean, Peter, what's from what you know so far, like what's your kind of view on what will happen? Do you think there will be full sale kind of changes in the squad? Or do you think the fact that Xabi is staying for another year could potentially force the likes of Florian Wirtz, Grimaldo, maybe to at least declare another year to the buyer?
That's an excellent question. A lot depends on Germany's performance in the Euros. Of course, if Germany go on to win the Euros, Bayern are going to throw an awful lot of money after Florian Wirtz, who is, well, along with Jamal Musiala, perhaps our best hope for the Euros. These two young players who play on the second axis in Nagelsmann's 4-2-2-2. Now, if that happens, Florian Wirtz, he is still very young, and he's represented by his father. And there's been some commitments to Leverkusen, but I still believe what his father said a couple years back, which was that Wirtz is committed to Leverkusen through the Euros. Say Germany end up winning the Euros. Say Jamal Musiala and Florian Wirtz end up really gelling and playing together. It's difficult to see Wirtz then denying a chance to go play with Musiala at Bayern. Another player whom I think Bayern are going to court very, very heavily, assuming that he has a successful Euros, is Jonathan Tah. Interested in that, you know, he's now back in the German national team. He's reestablished himself. He's totally erased that humiliation from that 0-6 Spain defeat and that time that he cost Leverkusen the title back in 2020. So Bayern are desperate for a central defender. They've sunk $200 million into central defenders that are in Dayo Upamecano, Minjae Kim, Eric Dyer, and Matthias De Ligt. That's 200 million euros in central defenders that are not working. So Bayern are going to throw some serious money after Jonathan Tah, if Germany win the Euros. If Germany win the Euros, I think Leverkusen will get broken apart one way or the other by Bayern, and also by, if not by Bayern, then by other teams, other English clubs who are willing to throw some serious money at these guys. I mean, say Arsenal offers Wirtz the chance to go play with Havertz, you know, and something like this. So this is, the Euros make all of the difference in the world. Balm has a question about Julian Nagelsmann going back to Bayern. It was reported today, I actually just wrote a story about it on Bully News, that Abel has made a concrete offer, a 3 to 4 year contract. As we know, Nagelsmann's contract with the German national team expires after the Euros. It's really, I don't think Germany wants to have this young Bundes trainer for very much longer. If he wins the Euros, it's a different story. I think it might be the case that Nagelsmann's return to Bayern is going to be confirmed before the Euros because they don't want it to be a distraction. So I think he might re-sign with Bayern, and we might get confirmation about that before the Euros. The problem that you have there is that Bayern's training camp begins before the Euros kick off, in principle, of course, with the non-national team players. Of course, if Germany get eliminated in the group stage, that's not a problem.
Although things did look a little bit better, let's be honest, in the last, the performance against France in particular, I thought was real top draw. And that was the best I've seen from Germany in literally years, I would say, that particular game. Against the Netherlands, it wasn't as impressive, but still, it was a good win. And we'll have to see, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely have to see. But we all know that England are going to win it anyway, so you might as well give it a hope. Yeah. But yeah, let's stop our kind of eulogy to Bayer Leverkusen. Let's move on to teams that are not having such a good season and the relegation fight. But yeah, obviously, I mean, we talk about teams that are not having a good season. I mean, for Mainz, it was pretty drab for months, for pretty much most of the season, to be honest, until that man Bo Henriksen took the reins. And let's be honest, nobody's complaining about him now, are they? I mean, that was his fourth win already. For Mainz, he's only been in the job less than 2 months, so he's doing a real good job. You know, he's got a team that was completely on its knees, basically, especially during the Jan Sievert days, let's be honest. I mean, who thought that was a good idea? I really don't know. But yeah, anyway, this is a team now that's going from strength to strength. They found the goal-scoring ability again. Johnny Burkhardt, I mean, I think I declared him finished to you, Peter, last time we met. But since then, he's proved that he's anything but finished. And, you know, a fantastic header for the equaliser after Kader Zsárbek had given them an undeserved lead, really, in this game, which was completely dominated by the Falcons. Obviously, Mvene got a very, very lucky 2-1, in truth, with a massive, massive deflection. But to be honest, I think if it hadn't come through him, it would have come through someone else. Obviously, Gruder got another pretty scrappy third goal, but then a really nice finish on Onisivo to finish it off at 4-1. I mean, Peter, I just think Mainz are back, really. The stadium was full, the sun was shining, the atmosphere was back. I mean, obviously, you saw them, when was it, back in February, and things were bleak at that stage, weren't they? And I mean, the only positivity were those stickers saying that believe in Mainz, I think, after that game. But what do you think, Peter? Have we got Mainz back, and can they stay up, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm glad you brought up that vlog because there couldn't be a more stark contrast. I mean, I was there in February. It was cold. It was rainy. It was wet. Everybody was miserable. The team was not playing well. Everybody was cursing the team. Of course, that was also during the protests. So we had that long 45-minute interruption in that cold and wet, rainy February. It was terrible. It took me 2 days to dry off from that. I've always believed in Johnny Burkhardt. I have to say, I was not the biggest believer in Bo Henriksen. I thought that was a gimmicky, cheap, let's bring in another Dane named Bo and he'll save us sort of thing. But it's worked. And it's worked, actually, the signing of Nadia Mamiri, whom we thought, I mean, many of us thought his career was from Leverkusen, of course. He was blacklisted and just basically thrown off of the squad after that botched transfer to Leeds United over the summer. You recall he flew to Leeds. He passed a medical and everything, but his brother, who serves as his agent, nicks the title. So he was Nadim Amiri had garnered this reputation as this impossible guy who was not a team player. And, we were questioning whether or not he was going to play professional football at this level ever again. And a lot of the things that Henriksen has done have worked. Like the captain, Sylvain Vidma, due to injury, he put Anthony Kachi in there in the right wing back slot. And that was the first time Kachi ever played there. And he's really excelling. He's really doing well. Of course, there were a lot of injuries in the defensive core under the Svensson and Sievert regime. But they've got Vandenberg back now. They've got Hanke Olsen back. And they've got Burkhardt back. Gruda was also injured for a long period as well. So he's got a lot of important players back. And if you look at the relegation race now, I mean, this is incredible. 2-4-goal victories for Mainz back-to-back. They are still in the relegation playoff place on 26 points. But there are two teams in total administrative disarray that they have a chance of catching. Both Bochum and Wolfsburg have both changed head coaches. In the case of Bochum, I think you and I both agree that this was a terrible idea to sack Thomas Letch at this point. They were in a poor run of form, but Letch identified with the team. The team was built around Letch. The team was built with former Vitesse Arnhem players from Letch's time in the Netherlands. And Bochum have just embarrassed themselves. I mean, what on earth happened this week? They were declined by both Peter Stöger and Dirk Schuster, former Lautern coach. And now they introduce Heiko Butcher, and the whole press conference was a disaster. I mean, all of the journalists were like, why did Peter Stöger turn you down? And Patrick Fabian is there saying, oh, Peter Stöger's he's a jerk. He's trying to ruin my reputation. He's doing scurrilous stuff and everything. What the hell? And then in Wolfsburg, we have Marcel Schäfer fire Niko Kovac, which can't blame him for doing that. But then he leaves to go to Leipzig right after hiring. Well, we think he's going to Leipzig. Right after he leaves Ralf Hasenhüttl without a sporting CEO. So I was talking about, you guys were doing the prediction show. And I'm very, very strict on my semantics when it comes to German football. I do not refer to a German head coach as a manager. I know that that's how you do it in the English game. But in Germany, it's either a head coach or a trainer, because the manager is the front office guy. So all of a sudden, Wolfsburg have this gaping hole in their front office. And Hasenhüttl has to actually step in and be a manager, which he was with Southampton for 4 years. He can do that, I suppose. But this is I don't know. I mean, Wolfsburg lost again over the weekend. Hasenhüttl is lying through his teeth. I remember Hasenhüttl was saying, I found my best 11. No, you haven't. you haven't figured anything out yet. I guess it's about time for me to turn over to you, Mark, about your thoughts about the relegation race, because all of a sudden we got a lot of intrigue going here. Before I do, I will say that Nenad Bjelka and Union Berlin has grown on me. I know that they lost this weekend to a very good Fugastetta side, who you and I are going to watch play European football next year. And seeing Rot-Grün Weiss. But I'll go ahead and turn it over to you and get your thoughts on the relegation race now, because I've given mine. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Mainz have just been a revelation, really. I don't see them going down, as things stand. As you say, they've got all the key bodies back. They've got options. I mean, Ludovic Ajok hasn't even been starting games recently. And he's a man that you still feel as though they can stick in there alongside Burkhardt if it stops working. And, this looks like a squad that's got options again. Leandro Barrero has started to play better. As you say, Amiri deserves a lot of credit, because he doesn't even look in great shape anymore, to be honest. He always looks like he's packing a few too many kilos, but he's a great footballer, and he's injected the life back into the Mainz fans, and he's produced a lot of good performances. And to be honest, he was probably the man of the match, in truth, against Hoffenheim in this game. I think he got 2 assists, and he was brilliant, even though he doesn't really look like footballer anymore, really. But yeah, I mean, he is a very good player, and they look too good to go down, in truth, really. I mean, Hanke Olsen's back. Even Zentner, who, by the way, has had a poor season before Henriksen came in, he's really looked good recently again. And the vibe is back. The Mainz carnival spirit is back. And I just don't see them going down, really. I really don't. But for the next team I'm going to mention, Bochum, it's just an absolute catastrophe. The season is becoming a debacle in a way for them. I mean, I think, as you say, Peter, we both agree on the fact that the firing of Lech was a joke in my eyes. From the glory of beating Bayern Munich at home, you know, that famous win. And I understand that they'd had a few poor results, but it was nothing to the point where they should have been firing, who had been a really successful coach. And I believe that he was a man that was tactically astute. I think he got a good tune out of what is, it's not the best roster, let's be honest now. I mean, it's a limited roster. But I felt as though he would have kept them up, even if he'd, you know, they had a couple of poor results. They lost against Cologne last week, you know, but they weren't bad in the game. They should have had at least a point out of that match. So it's not like the performances were particularly poor, but I actually thought this was a relatively poor performance from Bochum in a game that they kind of had to win. I mean, that own goal, don't even get me started on that one. If any of you guys have not watched that one, from Kevin Schlotterbeck, I mean, that was a beauty of an own goal. I think the Heidenheim fans, the players and fans were just thinking, my God, have they really just given us a goal like that? Because I don't even think the Heidenheim players celebrated the goal because they were so shocked and like, no, surely not. Did you see that one, Peter? What did you make of that one?
May I mention an interesting fact? This is actually the second time this season that Kevin Schlotterbeck has scored an own goal and then redeemed himself by scoring a goal in the same match. It happened against Mainz on match day 10, I believe.
It did. I remember that. Yes. Yeah. So, but it was a great moment, to be fair, for the for the brother of his more famous sibling to get that equaliser, because he is a good player. I do like him, but he's had a bad few weeks and he looked absolutely crestfallen after that own goal. But I mean, this wasn't the best game in truth. I think Heidenheim were kind of, you know, they were just happy for a point, really, in truth, in the game. And they got that, and that pretty much saves them now. But in general, for Bochum, I'm not optimistic at all about them. I mean, Butcher, he turned up literally for his first appointment in like a basic T-shirt and some blue jeans, basically. The guy just didn't inspire any confidence whatsoever, if I'm being honest. You know what I mean? The whole thing was just, I mean, he was basically the third choice after they'd fired the manager. And he just doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to give them any impetus. And I just didn't see that from the performance again in what was really a must-win game against Heidenheim, because they've got some much harder games coming up, including the likes of Leverkusen before the end of the season and Dortmund as well. So it's looking absolutely bleak for them at the minute. And they would be my tip for the third relegation spot. I don't think they'll fall below Cologne, but I think they could end up in that playoff spot this year. And to be honest, with the form that they're in and the lack of leadership of that club at the minute, I think potentially Dusseldorf, who are looking likely to get third at the minute, they would fancy beating this Bochum side. I mean, obviously, the Bundesliga teams pretty much always win these playoffs, but I would definitely give Dusseldorf or even Hamburg a chance in that playoff if it was to come to it, because Bochum they've made some bad decisions. I really believe that the firing of Lech could be their downfall in the end, because Lech was a very solid coach. And I understand they'd had a poor run, but he had that system with the likes of Osterhager, Lossia in midfield, and it was working. But I'm worried for Bochum. I really am at the minute. And, you know, I've enjoyed having them in the Bundesliga. I think they've got a great set of fans. The atmosphere always looks brilliant at the Vonovia Stadion. I mean, I've never been up there to see them live, but it always looks good. And it's sad to see their kind of downfall. But on the other side, I'd be very happy to see Mainz stay up, because they've always been a club that I've enjoyed. On this channel, we're a massive fan of Mainz as a club. It was kind of sad to see their decline for periods this season, because, you know, I've always rated their fans as good home fans, and to see the stadium half empty at times this season was quite sad to see. But it's good to see it was full against Hoffenheim. It was full the week before against Darmstadt. And it just seems as though the good vibes are back there in the Rhineland-Pfalz. As for the other team, we've got to mention them a little bit, haven't we? I mean, Darmstadt, this was a poor game, actually, in truth. This was probably the worst game of the weekend. I did watch this one before the big event in Leverkusen. I didn't think Freiburg were particularly good, but Darmstadt just don't really score goals, do they? They miss a few chances through Wilhelmsson, and I think that's it for them, isn't it? I don't think we have to say too much, really, more about Darmstadt. But yeah, that brings us on to the... I've actually put them in the European challenges, but I did want to mention the game of Bayern versus Köln. I mean, obviously, they're the other side that people are going to be talking about in the dogfight, FC Köln. They are now 4 points adrift of safety on 22 points, which is obviously not where they want to be at this stage of the season. But actually, Peter, I mean, I thought they played well in this game. I really did. I mean, they missed two great chances through Alidu, who has actually been really good in this Ruck Runder. And then at the end, that chance from Waldschmidt, I mean, he's got to be scoring that one when the ball ends up at his feet going into the added-on time. And he can't find the finish. And then his good old strike partner, Stefan Tigges, also messed up when given a free rein too. Peter, would you agree that there's still a bit of life in the old Köln spirit yet based on this performance?
No. I mean, that was an impressive and enthralling comeback win over Bochum that ended up costing Thomas Letch's job last week. But I covered this match. It was my main focus for the 1530s, and I also studied it on a tactical level to make it sort of the one of the focus points of my column this week. And Timo Schulz just gave me a splitting headache. He shifted his tactics 4 freaking times and put he just threw everything at the wall to see if it would stick. And he really made the problem with Waldschmidt is Waldschmidt probably should have started. When he did put Waldschmidt on, initially he put him on the left, and then he moved him a little bit further back on the right. And that's what led to that miscommunication between Waldschmidt and the debutant starter, Jakob Christensen, on Thomas Müller's goal, on the second goal there against Köln. So I think what Timo Schulz did is he took some of the momentum that he had last week, and he was getting a lot of media attention in Germany, and he let that get to his head, and he came up with stuff that was really way too complicated on the tactics boards there. And unfortunately, they have a very, very difficult remaining schedule. We mentioned in the relegation race that Wolfsburg are also in administrative chaos, just like Bochum. But it's hard to see Wolfsburg. I mean, with that roster, they have so many high caliber players on there. Hasenhüttl is not Florian Kohfeldt, last time I checked. He should be able to fashion something workable there to get Wolfsburg out of the relegation race. So with Mainz surging, with Bochum going down, and with Wolfsburg sort of in limbo, Köln need another team that they can potentially catch in order to keep their hopes of survival alive. And until I see Wolfsburg really implode, which could happen, or I could be wrong about Nenad Bjelke. I've been wrong about him before. So I could be wrong about him, but they really do. They need... Yeah. Well, they're playing... Okay, favorable schedule. Mainz. Not who you want to play. Darmstadt, they can get a win there. Union Berlin, I just don't know. I mean, Union versus Köln, that could easily be a nil-nil draw since nobody on either team. They don't have goal scorers on either team. But I like what Bielka's done with Union, particularly what he's done with Brendan Aaronson, the I'm biased there, the American. I think that what Aaronson has done, he's really emerged as a good buttressing support attacker, and he looks very, very threatening on the counter. And you have strikers in Kevin Volland who can score goals. Bedia did score one in a test fixture over the international break. These two young guns, Kaufmann and Hollerbach, okay, they're not Champions League strikers, but they're literally not. They were left off the Champions League roster. But I mean, there's some heartbeats that are available there in Union, and I think that Union can pull up. So Köln, they really need to they need another team to collapse. And I'm failing to see what other team that could potentially be. You know,
let me give you one name, Werder Bremen. They've lost, what is it, 4 or 5 straight now, but there are 9 points separating them with only 5 games. It's a big ask to say they're going to get above them, but I think Werder look a side that are in free fall as well. I think Werder and Bochum are and probably Wolfsburg as well, as you say, because they've just not been able to win the entire Rückrunde, basically, apart from that one game, which was ironically against Werder as well. But I mean, they look the 3 worst sides to me at the minute, as you say. I mean, but as you say, Wolfsburg kind of reminds me of Hoffenheim last season when they were like poor and then they just about managed to find something in the last 5 games to stay up. But I think, yeah, it's hard to see them finishing in the bottom 3 with that squad. But
I'll tell you what, if they can get to the relegation playoff place, and of course, you know, it's Union Berlin was the last team to win the relegation playoff. That was 2018-19. And all of us are kind of secretly rooting for a playoff between Hamburger SV and Köln so that we can see Stefan Baumgart face off against the whole team. Yeah. I would back Köln in the relegation playoff against, we'll see. We're going to have we'll see about Düsseldorf. Not against Düsseldorf, but I would back them against Hamburger SV.
Yeah. Well, they're becoming like the kind of synonymous with bottling it every year, basically. And yeah. People are starting to wonder whether they'll ever get back in the Bundesliga, the highest foul. But yeah, let's move on more towards the European race now. I think we've had a good chat about the dogfight. But yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of teams, pretty much every team had a really good weekend that's going for Champions League or even European places, if we include Augsburg in that as well. I mean, Stuttgart 3, Frankfurt 0. I mean, this was another. I think I tipped the 3-0, and I wasn't surprised with the way this game panned out at all. I just think Frankfurt are just underwhelming at the minute, and I'm not seeing much from them at all. But again, from Stuttgart, it was just vintage Stuttgart again, wasn't it? Fantastic through ball, and then beautiful finish again from Gourassi, who just makes it look so easy, doesn't he? Like, it looked like an easy finish, that, but it was actually a really good finish given by the VAR after a brilliant run. And then, I mean, the second goal was poor from Robin Koch, wasn't it, who actually apologised after the game for a very poor performance in this match. You know, the German national team, likely starter as well, had an absolute, well, maybe not starter, but at least squad player, had an absolute nightmare in that particular match. But yeah, I think Dennis Undav again is another man. You know, we mentioned Kleindienst last week. I mean, he's another man that's played himself into form at the right time. You know, with that trademark low finish, very similar goal really to his one against Heidenheim the other week. I felt that one for an excellent goal for 2-0. And then again, Leverling, who has had a bit of a late season flourish himself, hadn't he, to managing to finish this game off well before half time. And yet another top spiel victory on a Saturday evening for the VfB. I mean, Peter, are we running out of time that Stuttgart can collapse now? I mean, because it's looking like they are going to get that top 4 spot, isn't it?
Absolutely. Congratulations to Rory, who was partying with Ryan Reynolds. Way to name drop, Rory. Way to drop the names. Ask him when Deadpool 3 is coming out after the Rex documentary. But I would say that look, Stuttgart are obvious. They clinched Europa League football with that win, and Sebastian Hoeneß has called a halt to the celebrations until they clinch Champions League football, which they absolutely will. I mean, nobody on Stuttgart. When you watch Stuttgart, this result reminded me a lot of that 3-0 win over Hoffenheim, 3 weeks back, just before the international break. I mean, this is a team that is just like playing Sunday at the park football. They're really just enjoying themselves thoroughly and completely. And there's no tension. There's no stress. Everybody's working together. Everybody's clicking. Everybody's playful. And it doesn't really matter, you know, if somebody is lost on a week-for-week basis. I mean, last week we were talking about how well Angelo Stiller did filling in for Valdemar Anton in central defense. This week, Neuber wasn't available on short notice, and Bredlau made some fantastic saves, just absolutely fantastic saves, credit to him. So now, okay, they were playing Frankfurt. It was a very bad side. I think you and I have mentioned four or five times now that, you know, you said, how is it exactly that Frankfurt are up there in sixth place? I don't know. Nobody really knows. And after they got that draw against Bremen, they have a very, very tough remaining schedule. It was entirely foreseeable that they were going to drop this match. And, you know, they just, I mean, Stuttgart are a very, very good team, but you mentioned the errors from Koch. There was a little bit of a problem in that Mario Götze came down with pink eye on short notice, and Makoto Hasebe had to fill in midfield. That was hilarious to watch because you had Hugo Larsson, who's 19, and Makoto Hasebe, who's 40, trying to work this.
He's 40 now.
He's 40, yes. You had a 19-year-old and a 40-year-old working like this huge midfield split stacker, and I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna be a disaster, and it was. So you know, Frankfurt, they have a lot of serious problems right now. You know, you have Nkunku, who was looking good for a little while, but now he's having disciplinary problems, not to mention form problems. You have Ikitike, who's still not able to crack the 11. Marmouche has sort of, he's still good, but he's kind of dipped because his fellow North African Chaibi has really dipped. So he doesn't have a lot of, you know, support on that second axis. And you know, Frankfurt, they really did have a great January transfer window. I mean, it's not their fault that Sasha Kalajdzic suffered that third ACL tear. And maybe it is their fault that Donny van de Beek turned out to be a pretty big flop, because, I mean, you know, that probably could have been foreseeable. But, you know, I don't see them hanging on to that spot. And so the good news is that who's going to take it? Well, Freiburg have been rather inconsistent. Hoffenheim, you can forget about it. They're going to finish mid-table. Heidenheim, one thing I neglected to say about the Bochum match was that actually they did a very good job closing down Kleindienst and Jan-Niklas Beste. Erhan Masovic really had a great game. So defensively, Bochum were pretty good against a very, very good Heidenheim side. But Heidenheim are not European contenders. Even if they are, they don't want to get in next year. I mean, that's, you know, shades of what Union went through in the Champions League this year. They don't want that. So, shall we sing Rot Grün Weiß together now, or should we?
Yeah. Rot Grün Weiß. There you go. Yeah, I mean, we've got to move on to them, haven't we? Because yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a fantastic. Well, actually, I would say the second half was fantastic. The first half was, you know, Augsburg are the kind of side, they do like to grow into games. And despite the terrible XG, I didn't think they were poor in the first half. It's just they tried a few things that didn't come off, so it didn't really show up on the XG. But, I mean, in the end, it was another professional performance from Augsburg. And they're just becoming such a hard team to beat, aren't they, under Jes Torup. And that man, Philipp Tietz, who's actually been the star of the last three or four match days for me for Augsburg, I just think he's been brilliant. Like his defensive work as well from the big man. I mean, literally on corners, he's heading it away. He's always the one to lead the breaks after the corner breakaways. And he's just been superb. That was his ninth goal of the season too in his maiden Bundesliga season. So I think playing second fiddle to Demirovic, I think it's a very, very decent number. And as I say, the performance-wise, he's been excellent. And then, yeah, it was great to see, obviously, the second goal as well. from one of our... I mean, when we went to watch him live, didn't we? I mean, it was a complete disaster from Sven Mikkel. We didn't even know at the time that he missed the penalty against Bayern, did we? But this was actually his first goal since the opening day of the season, incredibly, against Gladbach. And it was great to see. I just thought it was a great moment. You know, obviously, he's had a difficult season, the former Union Berlin man. And obviously, he got that goal against his former club for what was a very comfortable win, in truth. I mean, Union had chances, especially through Kral in the first half. And, you know, Aronson, he's always quite industrious, but sometimes lacks that kind of finishing product, doesn't he? But I agree with what you said, Peter, about Unión. I don't think they're really major relegation candidates. I think they've got enough in there to stay up, but they just need to start scoring goals. That's the issue, because I think performance-wise, it's solid from them, and the XG is always around about 1.5 to 2, but they're not getting anywhere near the goals that they should be. That's the issue. But for Augsburg, Peter, for me, they look like the 7th best team in the league and potentially even the 6th best, in truth. I think it's possible they could overtake Frankfurt. Obviously, they do play each other next Friday as well, which is going to be an interesting game. I mean, if they can win that, then they'll be big favourites for 6th spot, which will be a Europa League place in all likelihood, unless FC Kark can shock Leverkusen in that Pokal final. I mean, Peter, obviously from a German perspective, would you be happy to see Augsburg represent the Bundesrepublik in Europe?
I would, absolutely. And I do think that they're going to overtake Eintracht. I think that that is going to happen. And I think you'll see Eintracht in the Conference League playoffs place. I mean, you know, what's unfortunate about Augsburg, and, you know, we tried to remedy this a little bit with our visit to the stadium and show everybody the Kinderparade. You know, it's just one of those German clubs that you can't get people outside of the country to be interested in. Mm. You know, Bochum is probably another example. And I'm shocked that more people outside of Germany aren't interested in Köln. It's such a wonderful city. The cathedral city is. But, I guess maybe people haven't been all that interested in them because they haven't, you know, been all that great. But it was even when they were playing in the Conference League a couple of years ago and, you know, I'd be covering matches for them and things like that. You know, I just didn't see the interest in them. So, yeah, a lot of people don't know where Augsburg is. They don't know about this little sleepy portion of Bavarian Swabia and things like that. They were in Europe before, of course, under Markus Weinziel. It's not all that long ago. It was 7 or 8 years ago. So, I think it would be nice for German football to get that diversity. I'd certainly love to go see another Europa League of Augsburg match with you, although I don't think they do the Kinderparade for the night games because the kids are in bed. As a German football fan, of course, I would love to see it. I mean, when you think about the international audience for the Bundesliga, you know, you're always kind of worried when teams like Fürth or Bochum get promoted because, you know, who's going to be watching, you know, or like that one year that Fürth, Bochum and Bielefeld were all in the league and you would think to yourself, oh, this is not good. You know, what international audience is there going to be for Fürth, Bielefeld or something like that? So you want the Bundesliga to grow internationally. And you want more people, you know, outside of the Bundesrepublik to get into German football because it is the best footballing beat out there. And it's owned by the fans and it's driven by the fans and the passion and things like this. But yes, it's true. When we get small town and small market clubs in the league or in Europe, that does hurt the global ratings a little bit. Well, we'll see what we can do to remedy that, Mark. We'll have to just keep working to remedy it is what we'll have to do.
Well, we'll be there, definitely. And I think we showed we gave a good impression of Augsburg when we went there. I mean, the atmosphere was great that day. And it often is good. But as you say, it's very much a small town, local yokel club, as they would say, isn't it? I mean, I'm pretty sure we were the only guys from outside of Augsburg at the game, in truth, because it was definitely a kind of locals club, yeah. Whereas even if you go to the likes of FC Kai, you know, you've got a lot of Americans there because of the military base and things.
Right.
So, yeah. I think there are a lot of German clubs that maybe should try and do a little bit more themselves to kind of make the international audience bigger. Because there are a lot of likable clubs in this league, fan-owned, you know, affordable tickets, good atmosphere, friendly culture and stuff. So definitely, I think a lot of it does come from inside too. There's a lot of clubs that have that mentality that, you know, we're a club for this town and we don't really need an international base. But I would agree. I think it's always good for clubs to have a kind of international appeal as well. So yeah, Peter, have you got your kiosks as well? Have you got your stuff for that?
Well, Actually, no, because I went to the kiosk. I got up at 6 a.m. to go to the Hauptbahnhof this morning and learned that the Kicker and all of the major Zeitungen, they have delayed the Leverkusen championship coverage until tomorrow because they wanted to put it all together later than when it went to bed. I mean, I did pick up the papers today. The Süddeutsche is running a big story on Bochum, or excuse me, on Dortmund, whom we didn't mention Dortmund, perhaps the less said the better. But that was a crazy game against Gladbach in which there was Marcel Sabitzer nearly scored a hat trick. The scene was something. They're talking a little bit more about the scene than they are about the match. Dortmund. Jesus Christ, Dortmund and Bayern are the two ones that the papers are running with. I will point out once again that it is 60 days before the Euros, so I have. If anybody needs sticker albums, I've got them for all the friends of my kids, and I saved you the Harry Kane German Sports Illustrated cover. I'll give it to
you. There you go. As long as he's on form for the summer, I'm happy. But yeah, definitely. So yeah, thanks again for joining us today, guys. Obviously for this celebration show, really, for Bayern, Ulfia, Leverkusen as champions of Germany and everything else that went on this weekend in this fantastic league. So if you enjoyed what you saw, then check out our Twitter feed at Over the Bar FB and at Village Footy. Don't forget that we're not only a YouTube channel, we're also a podcast as well. So you can find our stuff on the podcast too. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe as well. Thanks, Moritz, as well. Some fantastic comments as well in there. Yeah, so hoping for you guys as well over there in the UK that Cologne can manage to stay up for another year, even though my prediction was for them to go down. And I did get a lot of criticism for that prediction. Hey.
If not, we'll go watch them together in the zweite Bundesliga next.
Exactly. Year. Yeah. I mean, Cologne, I can imagine. I've never seen them in Köln. I've seen them away, but never in Köln. And the atmosphere is amazing, I can imagine. It always looks fantastic.
It'll be a sellout every week in the zweite Bundesliga.
Yeah. Without doubt. Yeah.
Just like it is for Lautern. It's a football mad town.
Exactly. So yeah, thanks a lot, guys, and we'll see you again on Thursday for the predictions. See you then, guys.